Mark chapter 6. You've been deputized, folks. There's a new sheriff in town. Mark chapter 6. Everybody's, oh, I hear that beautiful sound. There it goes. It's about time somebody's phone makes that sound. All right, Mark 6. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? And with what and what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed at his hands?" This was not necessarily an astonishment of, wow, man, this is really something. This is sarcasm. This is the astonishment of, what kind of an idiot is this? Just so we have some context. "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there except that he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then went about the villages in a circuit, teaching. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing on the journey except a staff, no bag, no bread, no copper in their money belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. And he said, 'In whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city.' So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick, and he healed them." Lord, speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You've been deputized to go. You have been deputized. Jesus has called you. He calls his disciples. And you've been deputized to go. Jesus is about us going. The anointing, you ever hear the word anointing thrown around? That was a really anointed song. That was anointed preaching. It's often misunderstood for the blessing of God. The anointing is this: the authorization on a person's life to do the work of the ministry. That is the anointing. When God calls somebody and gives them authority, as he does here, to go. Go. It's like, have you ever watched an old Western movie? And what do? They deputize people. Right? There's a criminal at large, and they need to get a posse together. Or there's trouble in town, and they just need extra hands. And it's, they put that badge on them, and it gives them the authority of the state behind them to make arrests, to use deadly force if necessary, to try to maintain peace and order. And that's what Jesus does. He gives them authority over demons and to heal the sick. And he sends them out in teams of two. So there's accountability, right? And also, anybody ever done street evangelism? There's something about being with another person, because I've done a lot of street evangelism in my life, a lot, and I hate it, and it's scary, and I don't like to talk to people, and I can't chicken out when somebody else is there with me. I've taken kids out when I was youth pastor to go. I've gone out with Jim, and we went out to community days. We walked the beer tent one time together, and the bookmark my kid made me a long time ago. I still keep it. But he sends them out in teams of two so they can't back out. They can't chicken out. There's that extra encouragement there. It's powerful when, that's why God created us. One, it's not good the man be alone. He created man and woman. But he also created us to need people and to be with people. So he sends them out and he gives them power, or he deputizes them. Right? There's a new sheriff in town. I'm deputizing you to go and make an arrest. Go cast out the devil. Get him out of town. He gave them authority to preach and to heal the sick. And he's given you authority to preach. Not like me, but to tell your story. To tell what Jesus has done in your life. I don't know a lot of theology, but I'll tell you this much. I was blind and now I see. Right? I don't understand all that science and evolution stuff. You're way smarter than I am, but I'll tell you what. I know where I was when Jesus found me. I was heading to hell and he rescued me and he changed my life. Now you can argue science with me all you want. You're smarter than me. That's fine. But I know this much. You can't argue that he touched my life. He's given you authority to do that. He's deputized you to go. You have all, just like, right, the badge, a police badge or the sheriff's badge, right? It has the power of the state behind it and the authority of the state to back it up. And you have all the authority of heaven on the inside of you and all the authority of heaven backing you up. In Ephesians, it says that we were, and this is different from, we're going to pray for the baptism of the Spirit today, but this is a little different from Spirit baptism, but it says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is, in the Greek, it's used for like a king's signet seal, which gives authorization, the king's authorization to something. You know, you carry like authorization papers. I have the authority of the king behind me to do what I'm doing, to go where I'm going, and nothing that anybody can do legally can stop that. Right? Or similar again to being deputized like in an old Western. You've been given the authority of heaven. It's yours. It's on the inside of you. God, the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of you. And you have all the authority and power of heaven right in here. Out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. This is why Spirit baptism is important. We're sealed with the Spirit, but there is a measure of authority and power that comes. To do what? You'll be endued with power from on high to what? Be His witness. Holy Spirit baptism is not about speaking in tongues. It is an evidence that something super, it's a physical evidence of something supernatural that takes place on the inside, but the purpose of it is authority and power on your life to do what God has called you to do the works of the ministry. You've been deputized to go. He's commanded us to go. It should be the exception if you stay, as that Keith Green said. Jesus commands us to go, but we go the other way. It's no wonder we're moving so slow when his church refused to obey, feeling so called to stay. But he's given you authority and commanded us to go. Number two, you've been deputized to reach people. God is about people. God loves people. He loves souls. So he does something interesting. And a friend of mine, he was a missionary in the Sudan and was sent to go and preach up where the northern and southern armies were. And he was sent out exactly this way with no provisions. He was allowed to take one set of clothes and no money, but a jug of water. He could carry a water jug. So when he was traveling and going where he was going, he could fill up his water jug. But they were sent without provisions, and they had to rely on the provision of God through other people. Like it or not, you have to deal with people. Anybody not like to deal with people sometimes? Anybody get frustrated with people sometimes? We all do. Right? What's that? I saw at a restaurant. We love all of our customers. We love it when some of them are here and when some of them leave. Right? They had to deal with people, and they had to deal with the reactions of people, both positive and negative. He gave them authority. He's given you authority to go, and you have to deal with people. There's no way around it. We have to be involved with people. As much as I'm sure some of us would like just to be a hermit and not deal with people. But God sends us sometimes to people who will never listen to us because He loves them. And so when you stand before God on Judgment Day and they stand before God, it's like, but Jesus, I never heard. Oh, yes, you did. Right? I sent Brother Jim to tell you, and you didn't listen. You thought he was crazy, but he went. He told you. Jesus wants everybody to hear the gospel, and not everybody is going to respond, and not everybody will be happy with what you have to say. It's not that much different from being a parent, right? Not everything I do makes everybody happy and makes me popular. Many times you know you're doing it right because your kids are upset with you. But God is extending mercy through you to people who want to slap away His kindness. And you can't get away with hiding. And again, like Paul recounts his story, who he was. I'm going to recount just really quickly who I am. I am shy, very shy. I am an introvert. I was teased mercilessly as a kid, and I didn't make friends easy. I still don't. I've been kind of a loner through most of my life. The few friends I do have are very close, and I'm extremely loyal to them. Growing up, I hated public speaking. I had to give speeches in high school a couple times and trying to find some way around it that didn't involve me dying, because I knew no matter what, I was going to have to do it eventually. I get to college and decide to study radio. Not so bad. I like music, and I don't mind talking a little bit behind a mic. No one has to see me, right? Like, one of the most disappointing things in life is the first time you see a radio DJ, your favorite radio personality. I was like, the face that I imagine in my mind is not this ugly mug. Like, who is this? Or the face and the voice don't match. Like, that voice is coming out of that body. And all my classes in college for radio were public speaking classes. Like, I hate it. I'm a natural introvert, and I can make excuses why I don't share the gospel and why I can't do what God has asked me to do. Me being here, pastoring a church, is contrary to everything that I'm wired to be. But my love for God and my love for people and my love for your souls compels me to go contrary to what comes natural to me. And I have to overcome my fears and my natural tendencies. And it is a battle some days to obey God. Not in terms of like, I want to go sin, but to do what He's asked me to do. The thing I struggle with the most is getting on the phone and making those calls to people, because it involves talking to people. Not because I don't love people, but because I'm shy. You've been deputized to reach people, to deal with people. It's about souls. You've been given authority not to have some experience with God. Thank God for these experiences we have, but for the sake of souls. And He gives them authority to go. And He gives them authority to reach people. The next thing is, He's deputized us. You've been deputized, but you cannot walk around in doubt. Have you ever had doubts? You ever had moments when you question God? I have. This year, I had some things take place in my life that I'm like, I don't get it. I don't understand. This is contrary to what I thought was the plan here, God. And we can easily become offended at Him. Jesus shows up to His hometown, and He only does just a few miracles. Like, we talk about, there's places where Jesus is healing multitudes of people, hundreds, possibly thousands of people at a time. And He goes to His hometown and only heals a few people. Because remember, miracles are accessed by faith. In the collective unbelief of the city of Nazareth, quenched God's power. Your unbelief can actually be a hindrance to what God wants to do through you or for you. The collective unbelief of that city quenched God's power. I have been to the city of Nazareth. It is 99% Muslim. There's almost no Jews in that town. There's almost no Christians. There's just a handful of Christians in Nazareth. The collective unbelief of that city was so great, it is now populated by Muslims. It doesn't even belong to the Jews anymore. It's a part of the state of Israel, but there's almost no Jews there. It's not really even safe for them to be there. Your offenses, so they get offended at Jesus. Friends, your offenses will withhold God's touch and power from your life. If you have offenses or grievances with people, deal with them. Because you will quench God's spirit and his power in your life. Well, God is God. He can do whatever. Yeah, but he holds himself to his word. And he's put certain principles in place. That when we walk around with offenses and unbelief and doubt, it hinders what God wants to do. Likewise, God's mercy. God, anybody been shown great kindness by God? Like, I've been shown incredible kindness by the Lord. I've been shown incredible grace by the Lord. And in Luke, he tells the story. In fact, I had a prophetic word for somebody a while back. There's nobody here. And it came to me in a dream. It was a two-part dream. But the Lord spoke and said, you know, and he quoted out of Luke, he says, you know, the same mercy I've shown you, you should have shown to others. But because you haven't, your debt is being reinstated and you're being handed over to the torturers till you pay everything back. So your lack of grace with people and your offenses and unbelief and doubt can actually reinstate the debt that you owe God because of your lack of compassion to other people. Jesus taught that. We don't like that part. We don't like that part where, you know, oh, Jesus has forgiven my sins. Well, look at the story. The man, he owed 10,000 talents of gold. It's somewhere in the realm of like $1 billion in today's value. And a guy owed him like $200. And the guy with the great debt is forgiven everything. It's just wiped clean. And he won't forgive the other guy that owes just a little bit. What's the king do? He goes, I'm reinstating your debt against you. Not only are you going to pay it back, but I'm having you tortured until you do. Offense and unbelief, it's torturous, right? Have you ever held a grudge against somebody and they didn't care? Has somebody ever hurt you and they didn't care, but you're walking around with the chip on your shoulder so angry, and you're the only one miserable, right? And it's exactly what Jesus said. You're being tortured because you won't forgive, because of your unbelief and your doubt and your offenses. And Jesus dealt with unbelief, and it hindered the work of God. He dealt, and it says they were offended at him. Here's the thing, though. You are not responsible to make people believe. I can't even make you stay awake on Sunday. I don't have that power. Thank God that you do. Thank God you come. And I do appreciate it very much. I can't make you stay awake, let alone make you believe what I'm saying. I don't have that power. I'm not responsible for your responses. I'm responsible to obey. Did I do what God asked me to do, and did I do it to the best of my ability? Yes. And tomorrow will come around, and I will get my beating stick and whip myself for how I could have done it different and should have said this or shouldn't have said that. But you cannot make people believe. You can just be faithful. All you can do is be faithful. He tells Jeremiah and Ezekiel, he's like, I'm sending you to these people and I want you to go and you're going to say everything I tell you to say. Yes, Lord. And no one's going to listen to you. Heard the story of a man, the Lord has spoke to him and says, I want you to go you know, he's in another country. I want you to go to this particular village. I think it was like in Africa. And the people will not respond to you. In fact, they will try to kill you. Why would you send me there, God? Because I love them and they need to hear. You are not responsible for people's responses. You're responsible to go and you're responsible to obey. Which brings us here. If it will work. Here. You've been deputized. So stay faithful. You've been given God's authority and God's power. You have to stay faithful. So his family won't believe in him. Because they don't understand what he's doing. Anybody had an encounter with God in your life? God touched you and nobody else understood it? Especially your family? To this day, and my parents are saved, they are godly people, they don't fully, especially my dad, do not fully understand. Well, why'd you go study radio? Because I was trying to figure out where I was going in life, and it was while I was there in school that I met God in a really powerful way, like a life-transforming, changing way that redirected my life. I just happened to be where I was at. You know, don't you think you should take your life a little more seriously? You know, don't you think you're taking this, kind of going to an extreme with it? Well, I'm doing what I feel God has asked me to do, and I can't do anything other than that because I'm not going against my conscience. People will not understand. His family didn't understand. They think he's got delusions of grandeur. And he says, a man's enemies will be those of his own household. But here's the good news. Jesus doesn't take sides. Jesus doesn't take sides. He takes over. You're either on his side or you're not on his side. God doesn't care about your little family spats. What he wants to know is, are you going to follow me or not? As I heard one guy say yesterday, you know, there's a difference between being a consumer and a disciple. Consumers are always looking for greener pastures. They're always looking for what's in it for them. But a disciple picks up the cross and dies. Jesus doesn't take sides. He tells you to pick up your cross and follow me. Right? Pick up your cross. Follow me. Where are we going? We're going to die. So I heard one person say one time, before we can pray, Lord, fill me, we should pray, Lord, kill me. We have to die to self. We have to get on the cross, pick up that cross. Right? I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. So before we can be filled, we have to be killed. It's no longer I who live. I'm just the shell of who I used to be. It's God living in me. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. So Jesus doesn't take sides. Our allegiance lies with him. We have to be faithful to him. I love my family, but I do not have family loyalty. I have loyalty to Christ. And for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is the way we're going. This is what we're doing. This is how we're living. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to obey him. And I'm not advocating packing up your bags and leaving your spouse. Okay? I'm going to follow God. I'm going to Cambodia to be a missionary. Forget you. I have met people that have done that. And that is not God's way. I am saying we have to be faithful to Jesus, whatever the personal cost. But there's a difference between your ministry and your relationship with God. If my wife said to renounce my faith or she's leaving, if I couldn't reason with her, I would help her pack her bags and kiss her goodbye. Because my allegiance lies first to Jesus. But if she said, get out of ministry, I'm leaving, I would say goodbye. It's been a great time and I've enjoyed this. And we'll see you later. Because there's a difference between my ministry and my walk with God. I just want to clarify that really quick. Your ministry is not your relationship with Jesus. You do have to stay faithful. You are called to share the gospel. You are called to reach the people around you. You might want to go on the mission field, but that might not be God's plan for you right now. My uncle, he's a pastor in Wilmer. He pastors the Nazarene church there. He's been there for about 10 years now. And he worked in the secular world for a long time. He went to Bible college and had a family, and it just was never God's will for him for a long time. But he was faithful to raise his family. He was faithful to lead, and he served in his local church. And then one day he gets a call. Tony, we have a church in our district that is looking for a pastor, and we think you just might be the guy. And he's been there for a number of years now. Stay faithful. You have to stay faithful to Jesus, no matter the personal cost and no matter the outcome. Because you cannot control how other people respond. You just have to obey. He's deputized you to go. He's given you authority and power to go. To do what? Reach people. God's heart beats for souls, beats for people. You're not responsible for how they respond, for how they act. You just are responsible to be faithful. How does God measure success throughout the scriptures? When God judged a person, what did he judge them for? Their effectiveness or their faithfulness? Because there are people in the scriptures that were incredible failures. The scripture in the New Testament, I believe it's Jude, says Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He did a great job building the boat, but he was a terrible preacher. Just his family. The rest of the world was condemned. Noah was a dismal failure. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, I'm going to send you to a place. How'd you like God? Hey, I'm calling you to ministry. Yes, Lord. Here's where I want you to go. Awesome. And it's going to be no converts, right? You're going to plant the church and nobody's going to come ever. What? Yes. And when you stand before me, I will give you a gigantic crown because you were faithful and preached to a group of people that didn't want to hear it. I'm going to send you to the worst place possible to be a failure in the eyes of people, right? Even Jesus would have probably been fired from his local church. He had thousands of people following him, and suddenly in one day he says something, right? Says something from the pulpit, offends everybody, and he's just left with 12. Thousands of people turned away from him in one day. God is looking for obedience and faithfulness, not effectiveness. Do we do our best? Yes, absolutely. Should we pray, plan? We're planning and plotting for moving forward on this property, strategizing about how we're going to get there, putting things in place so when we get there. But ultimately, it's about souls and being faithful. Were we faithful to God? Was I faithful to what God asked me to do as a leader? Not was I effective, not that it all worked out right, but was I faithful and was I obedient? Here's what I want to do today. Number one, I just want to pray for a fresh anointing on your life. Meaning just a rekindling and a reminder of that authorization that God just wants to come and shine up that deputy badge today. Just a reminder, hey, I've called you. You have all my power and authority backing you up. You're not responsible for what they do, just like the police aren't responsible, right? For what criminals do when they show up, right? Sometimes people, right, comply with the police, and sometimes they fight back. Ministry's not much different. But God wants just a fresh touch today, just a fresh encouragement today, too. I want to pray for those that want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be endued with power from on high to be his witnesses. We believe theologically in the assemblies that the initial evidence is speaking in tongues, which is a physical sign of a supernatural inward work. We see that through Acts. How did they know that the Gentiles had gotten saved? Right? How can I qualify that they got saved and God was doing something? How did they know? They heard them speak with other tongues. They saw a physical sign of a supernatural thing that took place on the inside. There was no other way for them to qualify that, right? They couldn't measure it any other way. I want to pray for those that want the Holy Spirit. And when we're done, we're gonna make a commitment to go. So I want to just open the altar. Joe, maybe you'd come and play. But if you just want a fresh touch from the Lord today, or you want to receive the baptism of the Spirit for the first time, I just invite you to come. I just want to pray encouragement over you and God's power over you. Because He wants you to go. It's hard enough. We just need a fresh encouragement from the Lord. So come. Get some of our seasoned prayer warriors come and just begin to help me pray. So begin to help me pray for these that are up here. I'll get to everybody in time, but just begin to help me go down the line and pray. Maybe Beth, if you could help me pray with some of the ladies, Nori, Harold, Mac, if you could maybe help me pray with some people. Just going to pray for some encouragement today, just a fresh touch, a fresh anointing on your life. And does anybody wants to receive the Spirit baptism for the first time, if that's you, I just want to pray for you first. Does anybody? Okay. Just going to begin to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for a fresh touch. A fresh touch. My friends, you've been authorized and deputized to go. You have the authority of heaven backing you. And God is going to judge you on this. Were you faithful and obedient? Not did it work out. Not did all your plans come to pass. Right? Was it effective in the eyes of men? But He's going to judge you. It is scriptural on obedience. Were you obedient? Did you obey the heavenly call? Did you obey what He asked you to do? So go. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged today. Father, I just thank You for what You're doing. Help us to be faithful, Lord. And we just thank You for the example of the Grants, Lord, grieving as they're getting ready to go and start a new adventure, Lord, as You're leading them on. Father, bless them. Thank You for what they've meant to me personally. I can't say for everybody else. God, I just know for me, Lord, how important they were to me. And we ask for Your special blessing on them. Lord, as they go, Lord, I just thank You for over the years, the great stories of just being places and sharing the gospel with people, just always ready. And Lord, that we would have that same burden, that same heart, Lord. Just bless them, protect them as they go. You do what You want to do in their lives. And thank You for their faithfulness and for their example, Lord, of what we learned today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I believe we have some cupcakes. Somebody brought some cupcakes. So we're going to have some goodies. And just give the Grants a hug. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Amen. Amen. God bless you.